Welcome to Eat This Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore, and I am pleased to be here with you on this fine fall day, whenever it is in fall. If it's not in fall, you stop listening right now. You can't listen to this. In hopes to encourage, edify, and occasionally tickle your funny bone, this week we have Jarrell Carper with us.
Here I am.
Welcome. Welcome, Jarrell. So happy you're here. Has it been a while since I've had you on? Feels like it has.
It doesn't matter because you always think it is to guilt me into doing more of these. So we'll say it's been a long time.
Well, it's been busy.
Yeah.
We're
prepping for men's retreat.
Yeah.
And whatever else happens.
I don't know.
In my week.
Yeah.
Lou's always sick, so I'm always doing his job. No, yeah, we're prepping cold. For men's retreat, and that's kind of what inspired the topic. But the interesting thing that happened, and I know what I'm about to say is going to make Chris roll his eyes, but
I'm ready.
We scheduled the men's retreat on a weekend where the Ducks were playing football. Gosh, and it's a long story, but it was really the only week in that cup team and the local camps that were available at the time. And so we rolled the dice and said, hey, I wonder if that will be an evening Ducks game and people don't have to choose. And lo and behold, the now 5-1 Ducks.
Wow.
Barely lost to Washington.
And now
they're playing at 12:30, which is right plumb bob in the middle of our men's retreat. And so it kind of forced the hands of our people is, do I choose to gather with my church community or do I choose to watch or attend the Ducks game?
I think simply put, am I a Christian or am I not? And you were caught in that mix. Didn't you have tickets?
Yeah, I had free tickets and yeah. I could have gone and yet here I am.
Leading this whole...
I'm also getting paid to not be there, so... and I'm trying to not get fired. And be an exemplary Christian. But it is attention, so I was going to write up my October men's e-news blog titled, Did Jesus Play Pickleball?
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of, like, would Jesus have gone out with his friends and, like, skipped church to play pickleball? Because I don't know. It just feels like a sport you would do in Eugene if you're not super athletic. Anyways, I like the sound of it. Don't give me that look.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have experience with this growing up. I raced BMX, big part of my life, lots of really good memories, but a lot of the races were on Sundays. And sometimes we would like pack up after church and go straight to the track. But then whenever it was like a national, we'd be, you know, out of town and it'd be a weekend race, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so I'd be missing church or I'd have the occasional soccer tournament. And, you know, my family was very like, we're there every Sunday, mm-hmm. but there are these Sundays where we chose BMX instead of church. We chose soccer instead of church. We chose a vacation instead of church. And, you know, being on the backside of pastoral ministry, it's like we can kind of see the ebb and flow of our people and particular holiday weekends or especially over the summer,
mm-hmm.
families with sports. And even as staff, when we juggle programming and like institutional stuff, we're thinking like, all right, what are people's calendars? How much have they committed to? I think it's a lot of sports, extracurricular activities. I mean, I don't think many people are missing for like the spelling bee or something. It's like, and we're in an area where towns are kind of spread out. And so travel sports require going to Portland or over the mountains or to the coast. And you're driving 2, 3, 4, or 5 hours for practices and tournaments. And I grew up doing some of that. So mm-hmm. like I have a little bit more understanding where I know as you, Chris, who might not know the difference between tennis and basketball.
Which one has the ball on it?
They both do.
Okay.
sports, you know, sports aren't part of your life. And so, but I think it is a question that some of us ask. I mean, like bluntly, it's
mm-hmm.
how often can I miss church or church programming to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something for me versus something for my kid, why is my kid doing that sport? Is it because I think they're going to go pro or is it friendship? Is it just being like an athlete? Is something they love? How many sports can they play? How much stuff can I miss? So anyways, it's just a tension of what what's our commitment level to the public gathering mm-hmm. Christians? I know to you, it is no tension. It is all the way.
I'm letting you unfold this yeah. beautiful, delicate flower.
Yeah. So one of the verses that I think people like cherry pick, and not necessarily in a bad way, mm-hmm. but like we just say it. Mm-hmm. It's out of Hebrews 10. Let us not neglect the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, or the gathering together. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this, well, the Bible says, you know, don't stop meeting. So I want to take a look at that and then just throw out some observations and see if we can find some principles here to make all of us feel uncomfortable.
Great.
Because Santa Biblia. All right. So I'll just read the section. We're not going to totally dive in this whole thing. We're kind of look at the second half, but this is Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. I'm reading from the CSB.
Ooh.
Just to mix it up. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Tracking with you. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, okay, all that really good theology, mm-hmm. let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Great. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It's a lot to unpack there. That could be a whole sermon or a whole podcast. Hey.
Or multiple.
So just some observations, not textual observations, but Christian culture observations, is I think I felt like I lived in a swing between the older and the younger generations. I guess I'm considering myself the younger, but maybe the boomers and the millennials in a sense where on one hand, you could say that the gathering is everything. That like what makes you a faithful Christian is your church attendance. So we never miss a Sunday, blah, 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 blah. We're always here. Mm-hmm. We're gathering. But then who gives a rip how I live the rest of my week, right? Or if I'm hypocritical or if I'm running my business poorly, I was in church on Sunday. And it's mm-hmm. kind of this public thing. And so the kind of cultural ethic was a veneer of like, I look like I'm righteous and committed and going to church, and so we don't miss church, right? Mm-hmm. I think the younger generation, the millennials, saw that and reacted because they saw some hypocrisy where it was such an emphasis on going to church, but then they're like, what are we doing the rest of the week?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I lived through it, and maybe I was in Pennsylvania, so maybe it was different somewhere else. I wasn't like on Twitter in high school, but I don't think it existed. But it seems like my generation was like, well, we don't trust the institution. We don't want to be a part of that commitment. We want to like live out our faith in all these organic ways throughout the week. And there was this like swing where now the Sunday gathering isn't emphasized. And it's like, what makes you a Christian isn't going to church. It's blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. And so I think we kind of have these two poles of like an older generation that's like, we really value the consistency, which is good. And the younger generation that's like, yeah, we value consistency all days of the week. And so if I'm living out the kingdom in community, following Jesus in all of my life, and I happen to miss a few Sundays here or there, I'm actually getting like the more important stuff right, as opposed to the other way around. So mm-hmm. Anyways, I haven't let you talk too much. So
no, I'm still waiting for you to make a conclusive statement not that you're being intentionally vague. I think you're explaining it well. I just don't want to send us on a rabbit trail because
I always get mad at you when you do.
I know I'm a little bit like a dog on a leash right now.
Yeah.
Because
you have so much, well, I want to hear it. But so let's look at Hebrews, and I want to just draw out some stuff from there. So there's this, there's three like let us do this statements mm-hmm. as a response to what's true of us in Christ, what's true of him as our high priest, what's true of what he's done with the curtain and like our freedom to now enter into his space. And so we are drawing near. That would be to Christ, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a sense of, because this is true, there is this invitation to draw near to Christ and commune and abide in him. There is another let us, which is hold on to our confession. Mm-hmm. So that would be, if this is true, I need to like remember, keep learning, like remember what I believe, remember the truth, hear the word of God preached, holding fast to this thing that I say is true. Okay. Mm-hmm. The third let us is let us provoke one another to love and good works. So there's this like community aspect of, if this is true, what we need is not just to come into the presence of Jesus, not just to hear the word confessed and proclaimed, but to actually encourage, like provoke one mm-hmm. another to love and to good works. And the like addendum to that is not neglecting the gathering together.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see this connection of like the gathering has these elements, but primarily that one is provoking one another to love
yeah.
and to good works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, hey, I'm coming in and I'm just going through the motions of the church gathering, but like it's the gathering is an essential piece of following this great high priest, because we need the community to encourage us to love and good works, to provoke us
mm-hmm.
To love and good works. And so like the opposite of encouraging each other would be like neglecting that gathering. And what's interesting is that word there is episunagoge.
Oh yeah.
So, which is like synagogue together.
Mm.
And it's not the word ecclesia, like the gathering or the church. It's not the word koinonia or like community, where mm-hmm. we could be like, well, this doesn't really mean like the official gathering. It's like, it just means like the collective church or your homies.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not used very much, but at least from my understanding, this is like, we're synagoguing together, which does.
And that means.
It has like a more like official vibe to it. Not just like, I went camping with my friends and that was church.
Yeah.
But like
the reader,
the actual letter. Like official gathering. So, I'll stop there, but I want to know what's going through your brain as we talk about this.
Oh gosh. What isn't going through my brain? Yeah. I think I think the season that we came through with COVID was illuminating in a lot of ways, because it was kind of a rubber hitting the road moment. And that's not to disqualify people who had legitimate at-risk health concerns.
Sure.
It was for those who simply saw it as a natural escape from something that was inconvenient for them for their day. And I think that we're suffering the consequences of a watered down big secret church, like cultural church, like across the, at least in the West. I think because we've treated the gathering and the true gathering, not the attendance gathering, but like coming, fellowshipping, actually being in union together. And because we've treated that as optional, as suggestion, you know, you can watch it online and that's going to have the same effect. You know, you look at, gosh, I don't know the real number, but I'd have to say a vast majority of the imperatives in scripture, you can't do by yourself.
Yeah, right.
No, you can't. You don't need to do all those in the assembly of believers on church Sunday. But that is, to me, the natural context for all those things. So it is interesting just to see how the attitude around the gathering has changed. In sports, you open it up in the very beginning, is a little bit of a bugaboo for me, because the question, gosh, I'm going to get in so much trouble.
It's okay. You're already in trouble.
The question that I wonder is being asked. I'm throwing my hands up here. Is why should my kid have to miss out because of church?
Yeah.
I don't know if that question is self-evident in its problem. It should actually be the other way around. why should my kid miss out from the gathering of believers where we put our faith on full display? We come together under the preaching of God's word from a pastor. We pray for each other. We love each other. We break bread. We do all these things to build family and communion, all the things that people need intrinsically. And they leave and they grow up and they realize, oh, I'm not getting any of the things I was supposed to be getting. But it wasn't modeled for them what the gathering was. We showed up on Sunday. Like when I grew up, it was never explained to me what Sunday was for.
Yeah.
Never. I knew that there was singing and that was okay. I usually had too many songs for me. And then there was preaching and that was okay, but I was a sleepy boy in the mornings. and then usually there was prayer. I got that part. I was like, I got problems. So let's pray together. That part made sense to me. But like the full scope of what it means, it was totally lost on me. Yeah. Even though my family was faithful at attending church.
Yeah.
I love the Lord. But there's a shock and blast. We'll see if I have a job for the next episode.
No, I think it's good pushback. I think that like it has kind of become an either or. I think, you know, nowadays there's lots of sports on Sundays where I think even when I was growing up, it was like we played soccer on Saturdays and there was never a game scheduled on Sundays.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, you know, unless you want to play kind of parks and rec level, if you really want to play a sport at a quality level, which is just good and enjoyable and, you know, how we want to play, like at least in Eugene area, you often have to be on a travel team. And then like that commitment, it's like, it is all or nothing. It's like, hey, if you're going to pay this much money and join this team, like these are the tournaments, these are the practices. And so, yeah, this is where I would lean into scripture as wisdom literature, as opposed to like, well, this means no Christian family in any way should miss anything.
Sure.
For any sport or any, you know, it's just like, well, I don't know. We are meeting together for love and good works. And we are engaged in so many ways in the world and we're whole people. And that includes, our physical sides, our artistic sides, all the other like places where we interact with community and society and our culture. And I don't think that means that like just some free ticket to like go do whatever you want. I don't know. We might disagree, but I don't know if that means like never ever miss some church program for some other thing, because I think like there's a lot of good that can come from playing a sport, like biologically for your kid. It's like, I want to raise a whole kid, not just like an orb that went to church a bunch, but like someone that's healthy socially and physically and like just enjoys the cool things that are part of our world. But I also don't want to teach them that Sunday gathering doesn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I wanted to draw back into the text of like, the Sunday gathering is the place where we are communing with Christ. It is the place where we are hearing the preaching of the word. It is the place where other Christians are helping encourage us and exhort us. And so, I think like where you draw the line, your primary like discipleship, like the strongest discipleship force in you shouldn't be basketball practice. It should be following Jesus faithfully. And so if you feel like there's this point where your family is so busy and you're driving all around and it's all this money and all this time and all this energy, and you feel like something else other than following the way of Jesus in the context of Christian community is discipling, shaping the values and priorities of your family more than the church. And like, I think that's the encouragement that you need to not. And so I'm sure we could find like case study scenarios where it's like, well, you're coaching an inner city team and it's really, really good. But they have a couple games on Sundays. Like, I don't know. I'm like, that sounds like a great place to be. But if you're just chasing bench time on a travel team and you're driving to Portland all this time, and you know, I only have a 4-year-old and 2-year-old, so I'm not there yet.
Yeah,
I don't know if Logan's destined to be a world-class athlete. Dylan might, she'll probably want to play football or something knowing her personality. But yeah, I guess it would just be a call to wisdom. And there was someone that signed up for men's retreat, and on like the comment section he was like, I'm leaving at 11 to go watch the Ducks game, and yes, I'm still a Christian. And I don't know either, you know, there's about 60 guys going to come on this retreat. I'm guessing we have, you know, 400 to 500 men and that call UFC home. So like do the math on the percentage. And it's not just the Ducks game that is means we're not at 100% or something. But I do want to, I guess it's a healthy challenge of like, what's the loss? Think about it. What's discipling you more? And then the last thing I want to say is that we often have buy-in on the sports team because we've like paid money. Mm-hmm. We're committed to this mission. There's some type of like fear of authority. Like at least for me, if I missed a soccer practice in high school, like I'm benched, you know, unless I had some like legit reason. And it's like, well, it's like I have skin in the game. And I think what often happens is it's really easy to not show up to something where you feel like you're just aside, like you're on the bench to use the sports metaphor. But like if you're showing up and your team is like dependent on you, then like you, if you believe in the mission of this church, the capital C church and UFC, if you're connected to its flourishing, like if something, if there's weight leaning on you for the Sunday gathering to happen or this discipleship initiative to happen or this leadership program to happen, like if you're involved in the church and it's part of who you are, then like you have that buy-in and it's coming from your heart. Like I need to be at church because this church needs me to be there as opposed to, well, no one will know if I'm gone. I can listen to it online. And it's like, I wonder if some of that mentality that we have towards sports of buy-in and cost and fear and,
loyalty.
Yeah. Loyalty. If like, I would check your heart and I would say, are you missing that same level of loyalty like to the local church? And if so, like why? And like maybe there's a season here where you double down and you're like, we're going to commit and not just teach your kids how to play pickleball, but teach them the importance of the church and model it, explain it to them. And I think if we can do that for another generation, like we'll be all right. So I am not like, you might feel judged by Chris. Don't feel, I'm just kidding. Don't feel judged by any. No, you might, if you feel like attention, that's great.
Conviction. They call it conviction.
And just, I don't know your life. But think about it. Think about those questions. And I don't know. The last thing I wrote, I already said the last thing, but the last thing I wrote was to actually count, like count how many Sundays a year you missed for the year and just like throw it up on the refrigerator. And I don't know. I wonder like, maybe in your head you think it was 5, but it was actually like 14.
Yeah.
And church, being a Christian isn't just about showing up on Sundays, but it's not less than that.
Right.
And it doesn't mean don't be engaged in the culture. It doesn't mean don't be a good neighbor or live your life in all measures of society throughout the week. It doesn't mean don't raise holistic kids that are in touch with the real world. All that matters. And it's attention and you're called to wisdom. And I guess, yeah, figure out which side you'd rather err on if you were to err.
You know? Yeah. I would ask the question, what are you more disappointed about, missing church or missing your sports game?
Well, the Ducks already lost this year, so they're not undefeated anymore. So,
so when the conditions are right, but you know that my wife and I were in Alaska and again, we're not some like icon of this, but the last weekend we were gone, I remember a buddy of mine said, so what church did you go to? And I thought, oh man, like I wanted to lead my family in that way. Do the research, find a good sound church and attend there on Sunday and say, hey, we're just visiting. We want to come worship with you, sit under good teaching, be reminded of the gospel, all these good things. And I was legitimately disappointed that I had not gone to church that Sunday. And so we went to one. I found this little, you guessed it, Reformed church in Alaska.
So surprised.
Yeah. And we almost didn't go because we couldn't hardly find it. And I pulled up and asked this stranger on the side of the road and they're like, oh, it's in here. I was like, cool. But that was a priority to us, you know, because we value those things. And, you know, I think that your buy-in point is really important because the whole point of belonging in a family is that you know each other, there's fellowship, there's richness there, relational equity we talk about. And my challenge is always, who do you know? Who do you know right now that's suffering, that's doing well, that's got a job interview, that has a sick kid, you know? It, of course it'd be easy to to not show up somewhere that you're like, I don't really know any of these people and they don't know me.
Right.
Not even to consider the theological or biblical implications of why we gather and those kinds of reasons. But yeah, I would challenge anyone who feels detached, go shake hands every Sunday and meet five new people. Write their names down, ask them about how things are going the next week. Meet five new people. Get involved in their lives. People need to know you care.
That's a pretty high bar, Chris.
I don't know. Jesus died on a cross. So
Jesus played like pickleball, but not on the Shabbat.
Not on Sundays. Or Saturdays, whatever it was back then.
He put down the scroll of Isaiah, grabbed his paddle, and said, who's meeting me? Who's meeting me in the kitchen?
Is that a thing? Is that a thing people say?
Well, the kitchen is the center box of the pickleball court.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
We could have had Garrett Gilchrist on here for pickleball clarity.
Yeah. And just to be clear, for posterity, I think that's it. Anyways, to set the record straight, I do think you can miss Sundays for legitimate reasons. I have so many buts I want to add on to that, but I'm just going to leave it at that.
It says, don't neglect it as some are in the habit of doing. And so what's your habit? Is your habit to be there? Is your habit to not?
Do you want to be there?
That's what a habit is.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all kinds of investigative questions that could be asked about this, but it's a really important topic and one that is essential for
our health. Chris, I come to Sundays to see you up on stage doing announcements, and it's been a couple of weeks. So
it's been a couple
months.
I'm
starting to lose faith that Sunday will ever meet my expectations.
Be right again. not this week, probably next week. I won't be able to get out of it.
Well, but yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see if you're ever up there.
Yep. Well, Jarrell, thank you. This is obviously a topic of just constant discussion, I guess, approximate constant discussion. Like, we work at a church, so we talk about the church and the flock and all those things. So I appreciate you bringing this to discuss, and hopefully nothing I said was too harsh or stirred too many pots.
I feel like we're both pretty, we said what we wanted. We're pretty close.
You actually made a definitive statement.
That's not true.
I said a definitive statement. You responded to my statement. Go back and listen to it.
It's you need to be in the gathering communion and community and the word. I mean, I already said
like
that.
A window and say, can I get my communion? They hand you the little cup through the drive-thru.
Oh, we could do drive-thru church.
We could.
The Hedick House.
Yeah.
Drive-thru church.
Yeah. Give them like a little gospel.
They've already turned this podcast off.
Yeah, this is a mess. Anyways, thank you again for bringing it. I appreciate these discussions. It's always good to chew and to be stretched. And that's what we're here for. So hopefully, listener, you were encouraged and encouraged to examine your own faithfulness and what church means to you. And maybe you were challenged by some of the ideas that you brought. But regardless, we hope that you were your eyes were turned heavenward. We will get you on the next episode. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.